intelligent cultures have rites of passage. See, like there'd be, we go into somebody training, we know all those rites of passage. But then when you start the nobody training, which comes after the somebody training, then you gotta become somebody before you can become nobody, by the way. That's why drugs for kids aren't so cool, because they screw around with nobodiness too soon and then they don't know where they are. Because you gotta have a somebodiness to come back to, even as a hype, I mean. And then you'd have an initiation rite, like in the tribes where they take a child, like a male child is with his mother till he's seven, and then the men come and they rip him away and they take him off and they live in a man world for a year, and then he come back and he's a male in the society. Ours is more hit or miss. Makes it more interesting. But we don't have rites of passage. We don't have it institutionalized for the kind of changes we're talking about now. And maybe it only can come through trauma. President Havel said in his speech to the Joint Houses of Congress, without a global revolution in the field of human consciousness, nothing will change for the better. And they asked for his autograph, all the congressmen. That's far out. You and I are in a period in which there is a very profound change going on. It's a change about reality, it's a change about intuition, it's a change about connectedness, because the myths are dysfunctional and there are new myths emerging. And what happens, what are you an instrument of during that process? If you are rooted in that part of you, or acknowledging that part of you that isn't part of the passing show, you can enjoy the passing show, the delight, the dance, the play. You can be part of it. You can feel the pain of it because you have a context that allows you to let your human heart break again and again, because there's a deeper part of the love which isn't affected by the broken heart. I spend a lot of time in one way or another with PWAs, persons with AIDS, or other people that work with people with AIDS. And a lot of the people I spend time with are not just HIV positive, which that can go anyway as I can see it, I mean, at this point. These are people who are very symptomatic and usually are very close to dropping their bodies. And this is like a leading edge for me. Let me show you what I mean by leading edge. Because here is a person who is probably young, in the sense of the expected life expectancy for a man or a woman. Perhaps that person's dreams have been shattered. So there is deep grief, expressed or not. The person is, a part of the society is socially ostracizing that person, because of the illness and how they must have gotten it. And the society isn't supporting them in the style which they would had they had a more socially acceptable disease. And they have an opportunistic illness in which you just get over one symptom and you start to feel better and you think you beat the system and you get hit with another symptom. Now, some people, I'm not talking about ARC or early or HIV positive, as I say, because that can go in any direction. But when a person is really heavy symptom, they keep getting hit. And as they get hit again and again, and all these forces of the shattered dreams, the youth, the anger, the social ostracism, the complexity of stuff with family and all of that, as they go through this process, their will often gives up. They give up. Sometimes when they just can't have the power to even lift their arm anymore. That's a very, very interesting moment. It's like, for me often, it's like watching an egg crack. And if I am quiet enough in my being and non-reactive enough, in other words, if I'm not so lost in my human pain about the reality of humanity of what this person's going through, their fear and their pain and so on, if I'm not so busy being reactive to that, and I have a little space around it, there is a moment when there's something that breaks open, and if you're right there, sometimes they're right there behind the drama. I got a quote from a nurse that once said she had extremely, he was very close to death about in cancer. And she said, yes, I know I'm dying of cancer, but look at the beauty of the universe. It was at that moment a person can come right out and suddenly, like, who's dying of AIDS? But for that to happen, my mind has to be, for me to be an environment to be ready to acknowledge that person's moment of coming up for air, if that is the way it can be, and that's their karmic predicament. My mind has to be so quiet, so free of grabbing, so free of busy being somebody doing something for somebody. If I'm too busy being nice guy hanging out with AIDS patient, then when they're not the AIDS patient, I'm stuck with my, I'm the only one in that room. What I can offer that person is two things, that my mind can be quiet enough so I am a spacious environment in which they can become what they need to be, because I can't live their death, they've got to live their death. That's their karmic, that's their opportunity, it's what they've got to do, their stuff. But I can be an environment of quietness. The other thing, and this is my leading edge, the other thing is the quality of healing for both of us that occurs when I no longer see them as separate. That is when I fall in love with them. Fall into love with them, open my heart, acknowledge this person as a fellow being just like me. And to do that means that all my humanity is going to be engaged, and that includes my emotional heart, and my emotional heart I know is going to hurt like hell because I'm then going to be wanting to hold on to that person as my relational heart demands, and then I'm going to grieve when they go. What pain. So I'm sitting there in the situation realizing that no matter how spacious my mind, if my heart isn't open, if I am not in love with this person, neither of us can get fed, neither of us can get healed through this interaction. And yet, if I do open my heart, I am going to have all the pain of loss again, and I'm going to have grief, and I'm going to have it all. And the edge is right there of finally just loving somebody. And know that your heart's going to break again and again and again and again. And here we are.